Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bishop Poole, Doctrine of Truth. We're so happy to have you. Amen. Again today. Amen. Wherever you are, we're praying that God will stretch his hand of deliverance upon you. And we appreciate you listening and as well as sharing with others, amen, about the program. And we're going to start off with a prayer. Amen. We're going to start off a prayer. We want you to, wherever you are at this time, amen, as you're listening, amen, we want you to think about the problems or situation that you're going through. But we want to offer a prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come to you, and according to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come two or more, you said, in agreement, and touching heaven and earth. And you said you will, whatever we ask in your name will be done. And, oh God, and we, according to Matthew 18 and 19 verse, we ask you to do the following in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh God, that you will help those that are listening. Oh God, we ask you to stretch your hand of deliverance, oh God, upon every listener of this broadcast. Oh God, we ask you to forgive them of their sins, their iniquities, their transgression. Oh God, the sin of commission, the sin of omissions, especially of any sins of our listeners, oh God, and our hearers now. Any unknown sins, according to Psalms 19 and 12, oh God, cover them with your blood in the name of Jesus. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness according to your word. 1 John 1 and 9 and John 14 and 14. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this to be done. Now, Heavenly Father, for those that are sick, those that are depressed and going through, Lord, we ask you right now, saying there's no weapons formed against them shall prosper. Lord, we thank you because every tongue and every word that rises up against them in judgment, we shall condemn. Oh, Lord, I thank you from heaven, our Heavenly Father, that of this inheritance of your servants that you've given us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness is from you according to your word. Oh God, in Isaiah 54 and 17. Now, for Lord, we're praying and we're asking for those that, oh God, going through rejection, going through loneliness, and their hearts being broken. And Lord, we're being, those been disappointed at this time. Lord, we ask right now, again, oh God, for there's no weapon form. Oh God, our carnal weapons, no weapons form. But mighty through God, pulling down all strongholds, casting down, oh God, imagination and high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity, even though and even through, oh God, obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask to be done according to your word in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through the 5th verse. God bless you today. We're praying that these prayers can be a blessing to you. And God, we ask you to stretch your hand again. Oh God, that those that are listening and they're going through their wilderness. Because God, we know through your son Jesus Christ have went through the wilderness first. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. We thank God for you being here. Those of you that are listening and by radio, you can also go online, the computer, URL, and pull up Blog Talk Radio after this program is over. And you can pull up a lot of more subjects that we have gone through. But we're talking about one-way Jesus. Jesus is a one-way. He is the only way to God. And that sounds good on paper, But there are some things you don't learn in books. There's certain things you might not hear preached from the pulpit by common denominators. Sometimes the common denominators can be just, you know, loneliness, you might feel a willingness. And I might use that expression because I remember the first part of my ministry, changing over. The old things was passing. And, you know, you're kind of caught in the catch-22. You're kind of caught passing. Let's say you're in a car and you're going from one city to another city and you kind of find yourself in a desolate road where all you have is forests and trees. Beautiful landscape, though. But yet and still, you don't see any people. And all you have, maybe your radio broadcast, memories, or you're concentrating on something. But in that passing, Paul said, old things are passed away. Passing away, all things become new. As you begin to become, you know, you begin to shed off the old things. And we as humans and we as people and we as children of God, whatever state you might find yourself in, maybe changing jobs or career, in that passing experience, sometimes you can find yourself a little lonely. You want to be, you know, you need to talk with somebody, you need to share with somebody. And sometimes, maybe not all the time, you don't feel comfortable. You really begin to question yourself, did I make the right decision? You know, so we're not astute, prep for changing. We need to always build on us, build on ourselves, build on our weakness, build on the things that God has shown you, you know. So we are passing, and sometimes you feel a little lonely. Jesus, when in the book of Matthew, he went through the wilderness. He went through the wilderness and by himself, the angels, and that was his journey. And we as Christians, or we as child of God, some of you now going through strange part of your life, and you feel alone. And this is what Jesus said: "I'll be your friend." He said, "I'm your friend," and he's the one that you can depend on. And this is what you can't find on paper, because the things you can't find in the books, because this is something you have to do. James said, "I show you my faith by my works." And if you trust in God, the only way you're going to trust in God is to do your work. And that's what we're talking about today, about doing your work, to be practical, to do the things that Jesus said do. And you'll find nothing but practice, 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 practice. The more you do it, the better you get. You know, the more you walk, the better shape you in, the more rest you get, you know, the more you change your habits of eating wrong, the body appreciates you. The body really appreciates you. The more sleep you get, like you get normal rest, the body appreciates you. Same thing about God and Jesus. The more you practice what he say do, amen, the more you understand that Jesus is for you. He is you. He is personally with you. Matthew 8:28-19 say, "I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world." What's that always? From birth to the grave and up to heaven. Your youth, your adulthood, being senior citizen, being rich, being poor, sickness, loneliness, alone, sorrowful, heartbroken, rejected, betrayal. He's there. You won't even know it until you try it. You won't even know it until you begin to pray, begin to read a scripture. There are some things that we have to do. And as you begin to go in this changing of your life, changing one stage to another stage, and maybe we might use this for those that are married. You know, when you first got married, you changed your name. Then you had to learn how to live with somebody. You had to learn how to live with another person, even though you love them. But now, living. your living habits going to be exposed. Your living habits going to be exposed on both sides. So now you can understand what Jesus said. He talked with one of his major prophets, Isaiah 1:18. He said, come now and let us reason together. And, you know, living with someone else, you have to begin to reason. Begin to reason. Say, okay, now, you know, both of us can't cook well. Both of us can't drink up all the milk. You know, one might forget, well, who drank up the milk? Well, who ate the last cookies? Or who ate the last piece of meat? And say, oh, it's not but two of us in the house. One of us had to eat it up. You know, somebody. So you can't be faulting the other one and the other one faulting you. But you have to learn how to share and confess your faults. And this is what God is about. Jesus is about. And there are some of the practical things. Practical things. Now notice what Proverbs says that in the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, he who keep instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuse correction goes astray. He goes astray. So we ourselves as Christian, we have to practice what Jesus give us to do. Notice here in the book of Matthew's and the first five, from the fifth chapter to the seventh chapter, it talks about, you know, doing, Jesus teaching, and Jesus teaching us to do. And notice in Matthew 7 and 24 through 27 verse of the Matthew's, he said, therefore, everyone who hear these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the steam rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the steam rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Amen. I'm reading from the New King James Bible, Matthew 7, 24 and 27. So what Jesus is saying, and you notice that, I can always, you always hear me express this also, what I, God, had given me, and I share with you, because this is what I do. And the Lord gave me, amen, the first part of my ministry, he gave me Matthew 7 and 7. And I said, okay, I'm going to write it down. Being young in Christ, my memory was short. And I pray all that week to get what he told me to do. He said, Matthew 7 and 7, say, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knock, it shall be open. Now, for 30-some years or more, I've been practicing that. I didn't look for no economy or town or whatever. Now we have more tools to deal with. So whatever problem you have, health, sickness, finance, seek it. Seek out a righteous way, and you can find. You can find. Seek and you'll find. So that I practiced that. I practiced that. Not only that, in God, St. John's 15th chapter, he said, amen, I am the true vine. If a man abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. So living right and praying and asking God, amen, those are the tools, those are the information that one of the scriptures God has given me, and I give it out all the time to say, listen, say, oh, I got a financial problem, I got a health problem. Oh, I got this. I got to say, well, did you call? Did you try to seek someone? Did you call someone? Did you try to, you know, other words, do your research. Do not put it all on yourself. God now, through his son, Jesus Christ, is your Lord and Savior. And we have to practice that. We have to practice that. I know it's hard, and it's the changing. You know, you can't go through those changing. Because we was born, the first doctrine we ever ran into was sin, the doctrine of sin that said, me, myself, and I. Satan told Adam and Eve, said, the day you eat of this tree, Eve, you're going to be like gods, to know the difference. You know how to make the right choice. And how many of you know, people you know, make the wrong choice? Without God, you can't make the right choice, because he's better than a satellite. He knows where the satellites are. God knows everything, and his son Jesus will guide us around this spiritual world, guide us through. So with Christ said, I come that you might have life, and I'll help you make better choices. Not saying you might miss some choices now, because we body, soul, and spirit. Emotion play a part, family play a part, a lot of things play a part. And so that's why we constantly have to, amen, stay in that close relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, notice that some of this here, we just talk about some of the things that Jesus talked about and he ministered about, Matthew's 5th chapter through the 7th chapter, amen, and about the wilderness. And we use this terminology about the wilderness because all of us are going through something right now, wherever you're sitting. I don't know what you're going through, but remember, you have Jesus. If you accept the Christ as your Lord and Savior, amen, you should, what, pray, talk to him. Number one, prayer should be a common denominator in your life, just like breathing. It's like picking up your cell phone. Pick up your cell phone. I know some of you right now, you're scratching for the cell phone. If you lose it, you got to back up, go around, get another phone, because you come attached to the phone. Amen. You should be attached to prayer. Amen. Get up in the morning, boom, hit the floor. Lord, I thank you for waking me up, et cetera, et cetera. For this day, go with me, read a scripture, then go. You know, wash your face, whatever you got to do, then go. Sit down, get ready to pray over your food. Pray over your food. You don't know who handling your food, where the food come from today. Always recalls or whatever. Pray over your food, asking God to bless it or whatever. The next step, you know, throughout the day, watch your mind, guard your mind. And that's number one is prayer. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed all the time. He prayed. The disciples began to concern about, Lord, why you pray so much? You know, teach us how to pray like that. And he said, well, Bishop, I don't know why you're still making up prayer, because I pray all the time. Well, that's a part of your spiritual growth, prayer, where you depend on Jesus to intercede. You pray so that you can feel that he's there, not just you thinking, oh, I got to go pray now, I got to get ready. No, it's a common part of your thread of your walk that helps you to grow. Paul said man should always pray. Now, the second approach, the second thing you should do is be a giver. Jesus said in the book of Matthew 6, chapter, take heed that you do not give your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward for your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you does give their alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the streets and the synagogue. So when you are giving, the next thing is giving. God gave his life. God gave his son. God give us air. God give us breath. God give us a new day. Okay, we can go on. It's God. If God stop, if God go on a strike, it's nothing. I'm sorry, it's nothing. So God is a giver. He gave his son. His son gave his life. Now, in the terms of giving, when we come to Christ, we give Christ our life so that he can remodel our life. He can remodel our life, remodel our lifestyle, that it doesn't make us a weak person. I'm sorry. God does not make weak Christians. Amen. He does not cause us to be handicapped. No, the warfare is different. I remember coming to Christ and always, amen, was able to protect myself and things didn't go right. I always didn't have much time, you know, to talk with people. If it didn't work out, I just move on. But, you know, being a young Christian, trying to find a new way, find my way in Christ, I got offended. I got hurt. So one day I was just praying in the closet, Lord, you know, Lord, oh, Lord, they treated me so bad. Oh, Lord, they talked about me. Oh, God. Oh, and the Holy Spirit said, Lord, see, get up and act like a man. I said, uh-oh. Ting, round one. Oh, in this corner we have the brother over here. He's a young Christian. He's got his glove on, Lord. I said, No. No, son, not like that. I said, what do you mean? What you mean? No, I don't want you to fight like that. I don't want you to fight. I fight the battle. Because this thing is spiritual battle. I learned, and I'm still learning, that we are in a spiritual battle. God wants to fight. He wants to fight the battle. You know, when Jesus went back to heaven, he said, I want you, this is like halftime, I'm going to prepare a place for you all. All I want you to do is love one another and be prepared for when I come back, to show your life and let others follow you. But I'll fight your battle. Because this thing that we are involved in is spiritual. You can't see it, amen, but you can feel it sometimes. Fear is a part of the spiritual warfare, amen, and anger, jealousy, strife, murder, theft, all of these things here is not of God, and it being instigated, amen, and been propagated by a fallen angel. So he doesn't want us to fight. He wants us to be a part. So we have someone that anyone would like to call in. You know, sometimes we get involved in this and forget about we do have some callers. Amen. If you'd like to call in, amen, you can call 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. And maybe there's some things that you've been practicing you want to share that works for you and your spiritual walk with Christ. It might be something that you want to share your spiritual walk with Christ, that you want to share with others. And one thing I did learn, and the Lord told me, he said, no, I don't want you to fight like that. And I had a mentor, and me and him just sat down, an older man, and we began to talk. And he said, you know, I know you're going through some battles. I know you're going through some things. But don't let nobody pay you for what you're going through. I said, wait a minute. You know, myself, wait a minute. What you mean? I didn't understand. What you mean? Don't let nobody pay me. I need about $10,000. I need about $10,000. You know, don't let nobody pay me. I need some money. You know, when you're young, I'm always used to, working and preparing and investing, whatever. But at this time, because of the change in lifestyle, you know, I have to learn to follow those that are living right and do the right thing as business. So he said, no, don't let nobody pay you. Don't let nobody pay you. I know you're going through some trials now, but this is going to be more than money, what you're going through now. And I understand now more, because those were trials that I went through, and I thought the world was falling apart. But because I love Christ, and I really gave him my heart, and he brought such a peace in my life that I had to wait and see what happened. And I did come out of it more than conqueror. And I can look back now and say, well, wow, I'm glad I did go through that situation with Christ, better career, and I can understand now he is Lord. When he say he's Lord, he's able to help me here, not before I leave here and leave this earth, but he's able to help us here. But we have to lean and depend on him, lean and depend on him. And that is about practicing. Giving is one. Now, Abraham, one of the stories about Abraham, he gave his son. It might not be that you have to give your son, but it might be something closer than that, your life to Christ, for it's changing your lifestyle. And you say, well, Lord, I'm so tied up in this life I am in, and I don't feel I can break it loose because I'm so comfortable. You know, I'm so comfortable. I know where my next meal coming from. I know who my friends are, back and forth, back and forth. But one thing about it, with God, he has something better. He has some better times and better situations, because all of our life is going to change somewhere, somehow. You know, in this world, people are leaving, relocating, being rejected. They are rejecting others and selling out others. So Jesus is the one. He want to give us a better way and a better life. One thing we notice, we practice giving, and in our giving, amen, God gave his life, and we learn how to give to others. When we give to others, it frees us up from being selfish. It frees us up mentally and spiritually for being an island of our own. Because God said, give and it shall be given. But, he says, give, and what? He'll make men give unto your bosom. So if you've never given anything, even your time, you know, if you, whatever you sow, you shall reap. Even your time, amen, sharing with others, just coming out of your own self. Sometimes you be so comfortable. We get so complacent. We get so complacent. I remember I read an article about how Kmart had come up, and they had the CEO of them. They had laid out the foundation for renewing retail selling, and they got comfortable, and they changed the name. But Walmart came through and kept on bettering the products, bettering the stores, and listen to more customers and pull past them. And the devil wants us to be complacent. He wants us to be complacent. He wants us to stop serving God, just wait. One thing you learn about God, he is a good businessman. Amen. He always multiplies. He always renews. If renew things. Look at the, why not just have one spring? You know, every year we go, the earth goes through winter, summer, spring, and fall. Every year. Notice that. Amen. And sometimes we enjoy the summer. Some people say, I'd rather have the fall. I'd rather have the winter. Oh, I love springtime. But the earth goes through the same changes. If you look at some of these trees, those trees been there through so many years of their life before you even came on the scene. They was there. Winter, summer, spring, and fall. But what keeps them going is the root. It's the root and the nourishment they get below the surface. Below the surface, they get their nourishment. They get their water. And you look on the outside and say, oh, no leaves on this tree. Oh, this tree drying up. It sheds off some limbs. And next thing, a new limb sprites up, new flower sprites up, and wow, they're giving off shade, they're giving off cool air. Amen. Then when the winter come around, they start backing off and shedding off. And when these harsh winter comes with freezing temperatures, look at some of those trees. You say, oh my God, that tree's not going to live. But it comes right back out because it's not on the surface. It's what's on the inside going down in the roots. That's where God wants us to be. He wants us through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, amen, that some people build their house. A wise man built his house on a rock. He's talking about his teaching. Love one another. Forgive one another. Are we practicing forgiving? If you don't learn how to forgive and forgive people and let it go and learn how, amen, to understand that God loves you, and he cared for you. And if you get tied up in unforgiving and unforgiveness, you'll be like the first two brothers, Cain and Abel. The first two brothers in the Bible. Well, Cain killed his brother because of jealousy. Because of jealousy. He killed his brother. It was all in his heart. It gave place to some bad practice. Bad practice. So we, as children of God, we have to practice building our house on Jesus' teaching. Building our house on Jesus' teaching. And you notice in the book of Matthew 6 and 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot put one party, have your feet in the world. In other words, you want to have a part of your old life constantly. Then you want to change over and you want to have a part of the new life that Jesus talks about, religion and things of that. No, you have to let go. And some things are common, and I found that it's kind of still kind of common, I guess, among the babies, Christians, and those that are growing, had learned to turn loose. It's around Christmas time, around Easter time, and they're around their birthday. And you have to be very careful, very careful. And notice what 1 John, the 5th chapter, talks about. Amen. Serving, you can't serve God and mammon. And the first thing that always, amen, we overlook at Christians, 1 John 5 and 21 says, little children, keep yourself from idols. That's why the first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. Well, Bishop, I'm not doing anything. God didn't tell me about my birthday. You know, so I had these things, this is my birthmark, and I always have this birthmark, I have this tattoo, and I always buy these things, and just once time a year. And I thank God for my birthday, and I thank God. That's fine. That's fine, but you cannot have that before God. You cannot spend more money on your birthday, spend more money, amen, on your birth party for you or your children than you will give to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me in heaven and in earth or beneath the earth or on the earth. You cannot have any idols, any statues, any marking. Say, this is my birthmark. I worship that. No, 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 no. You're breaking God's commandment. And that would hinder your growth as a child of God. I remember when I was running a revival, and I had the last part of the revivals. The Lord showed me in a dream this young man, and during the run of the service, he would always come forward for prayer. And the next night, that last night of the service, and I asked him, he said, you know what the Lord showed me in your life? Say, above your bed, you have all the signs of horoscopes. Have all the months and all the signs. And he was so astonished. I said, yeah, that's right. I said, that's why you can't get your breakthrough. Well, I'm not doing anything to them. It's just there, and they look nice. No, 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 no. Yes, but in your subconscious, amen, they're holding you back because you always think about each month. Oh, this is the month of Leo. This is Capricorn. And this, that, and the other, and no, 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 no. All those little statues and all those little things, you have to get rid of. You have to get rid of. Give them to somebody else to get rid of them, because they're in your subconscious. That was your first love before you came to Christ. Those things are your first love. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why you can't get a breakthrough? Why you can't feel that you're able to feel free in your spirit to talk to God by anything, or feel free in your spirit to read the Bible, because what? Every time you turn around, you look at Buddha, or bald-head Buddha over there, cost $5,000, and you got one little cross, you got it in your closet. Amen. Wherever you got it, you don't want to wear it because it doesn't cost that much, but you just got it, and that's because of religious reasons you put it on Sunday. But every day, you look at your horoscope. You look at your horoscope. You have to, what, eliminate that for your eyes, because your eyes see, goes to your conscience, and in your subconscious. You got to lay aside all those weights. It weighs your spirit down. It weighs your spirit down. So we have to practice. We have to practice these things. We have to practice. And when you go through those changes in life, you know, you can start going through those changes in life, growing up, and you find yourself in a position where you feel nobody don't care anymore. Maybe because of the respect you thought you were supposed to get. You set your heart on certain things and it didn't come through as fast as the world said it should come through, some requirements that you were looking forward to, and all of a sudden you feel that you have not met that part of your life, and you wasted your time going to college, wasted your time in investment. In other words, you didn't get that pat on the back or the insurance that you thought you was going to get. But my brother and my sister, God don't need all of that. Know what he says? He said, I'll be with you. I love you. I care for you. I'll be with you. And as we go through our spiritual warfare, and it is a spiritual warfare, and you might not think so, but you can feel sometimes the battles in your thought pattern. And we have to understand, and Paul, the apostle, in the book of Romans, he recorded that. And it's good that you have the Bible. Read your Bible. That's another part of spiritual growth, reading. Reading, then studying. Then studying the Bible. Then studying the Bible. And Paul said he found that in his members, you know, his body, soul, and spirit, he found that. And that's why it's important that you not to, you have to give up all those things that you go to, look forward to see what the future is about. Because those things inhabit spirits. And as you begin to eat, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Just reading the Word of God is healthy. Reading the Word of God is health to the bones. Amen. If you like to call in, you better call in. If you don't, I'll be going on. If you like to call in and share some of the things that you have gone through, going through, and wanted to share that you learned, you can call 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. There are certain things you won't find written, and this is very important. That's why we have to, we go and be in fellowship with other believers, find radio broadcasts or television programs that you know God has led you to. I know you're not here by mistake, and some of you have been following this broadcast. I thank God for it, but you're not here by mistake. And notice what Paul said in Romans 7:22. Paul said, I delight in the law of God, but the inward man, but I see another law in my members. Now, if you those of you studious and study the Bible, and sometimes you be in deep Bible study with others, and they always say, well, you know, the old covenant is under the law, and I don't have, you know, we're under the new covenant. We're under the new Bible, and we're under this dispensation and whatever. And they want to carry on, but God started what they call law. God started, God drew lines, and he commanded. He said, I do not want my people to do thus and so, because if they do thus and so, they'd be involved with Lucifer. They'd be involved in those angels that are being condemned, and they want to make you to break my commandments. And this is what Paul said. He find that there's a law. There's a law. In other words, there's some rules and regulations that you have learned and you have set out in your life. And you say, well, I will not trust anybody anymore. And if they do thus and so, that line is drawn. That's my law. That's my law. I will not do it. You know, and many times people go through the stop sign, signal lights, and I think one of the dangerous persons in the world, the taxi driver. And you go through those, and they drive all kind of lines. You just give them a couple of dollars, say, I'm late, I need to get to this place, and they will get you there, my friend. But listen, Paul said he found there's a law. There's a law. Romans 7:23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who then be with the mind. I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, we was born in sin, and it's always you have to remember, you have to practice, and you have to walk in it constantly. You have to train your mind. You have to train your mind. You have to train your life to be involved, amen, in God's law and what God wants you to do. Amen. This is a constant work. There's a constant work. And we want to pray again for those that are listening. And we want to pray, amen, that God will bless your effort and your desires, and that your faith will hold out. Faith is nothing but trust in God. We trust in God that one day, you know, regardless of what we're going through, he going to strengthen us. Have you ever seen people that, regardless of what they're going through, look like, amen, they always, you know, they're not shaken, they're not falling apart, and amen, but they're able to just say, well, you know, God going to provide. They didn't get that way overnight now. You don't get that way overnight. You constantly been praying, and you constantly been reading, and you're constantly fellowshipping. Amen. Pastors, they always have to be. Sometimes we use that terminology, prayed up. No. They've always been on the line with Jesus. Asking Jesus this question. Ask Jesus that question. Asking Jesus, well, Jesus, what you think about this? Lord, I know you're going to help me, you know, through this situation. And I know you got something better. Romans 8:28. I remember before we pray, we're going to read Romans 8. And I was working, and supervisor who was selling insurance at the time, back in the early 80s. And we got some orders to go to a place and make a bid. And being young in Christ, and Holy Spirit said, don't go. I said, well, Lord, supervisor said so. You know, I got my job called for it. I got to go. And we're leaving about 30 miles on the way to the appointment. And the car throw the timing change. You know, the car was constantly running, but it was just slowing down. The more I stepped on the gas, the engine began to race, But it wasn't going anywhere. It rolled off to the side. And being know a little bit about mechanics and what had happened, amen, I said, oh, my God, what I'm going to do now? So we called and got the record to come and everything. And lo and behold, the record driver hooked up the car. On the way back home, the car broke loose from the wrecker and hit on the interstate, hit up against one of those lamp poles and totaled the car out. Oh, now I know what I'm going to do now. For a while, I said, well, we'll rebuild the engine and find out what the problem was. And it sounded like a timing chain, but now the body's all tore up. So, oh, God. So we had to go back home. No, one car in the family. And using that car to go to work and begin to pray and talk to God. And so we went back to the record driver. He paid us for the engine, paid us for the car, but that didn't help. They didn't give me the full price because the car was about 10 years old. So what had happened, me and my wife went to get a loan for the car, get another car, and they wanted a little deposit we did have, plus our credit, so we put the money into the account for collateral. Then after that, we got a car, and when we did, it was a station wagon. Then when we did get the station wagon, we needed money. So, you know, always praying and talking to God and whatever, and the Spirit said, go down to the credit union and get your money. I said, well, you know, that's collateral, whatever, you know. But I learned now, after the first begin to learn when I hear the voice of God, you know, obey. Okay, so went down to the credit union, and the lady pulled up the computer and everything. Oh, yes, sir, no problem. And I didn't ask for all the money. I just left a little money in there. And I went back, and my wife said, we should have got all the money out. So I went back the next day, and the lady pulled up the account, and she said, wait a minute, how you get this money out of here? I said, ma'am, I didn't have nothing to do with it. You know, the clerk here gave me the money, et cetera, et cetera. See, everything worked out. Everything worked out. We got a car. We got our collateral back because God fixed it. He fixed it. It was no negativities in me. I was just sorry because I should have listened to the Lord. He probably knew the car was on its way out. The engine was on its way out. But through everything he worked, we got a better car and everything and more money. So everything worked together. Romans 8 and 28. You see, we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. It's going to work out. It's going to work out. Praying for those that have sickness in the body or problems now. Oh, Lord God, we know the pain. And, Lord, we know that you said in your word, there's no weapons formed against us to prosper. Lord, there might be someone that listened today and listening now, oh God, that we need to just reassure them through your word that, amen, in Isaiah 53 saying that, amen, you bore our grief and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastising our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So that's a part, amen, of our daily walk. Believing that God is a healer. Believing that he does care about how you feel. He does care about how you feel. He does care about your pain and your headaches and your broken heart. He does care. Remember now, if you know a little bit of history about Christ, amen, he came up as a babe, and for 30 years before he went to the ministry, he was under Joseph and Mary, amen, mother and father, fathering him in the natural, and he knows about a lot of things. He knows about a lot of things. He's seen people's sickness. Leprosy was the dominant thing back there. Amen. During the Old Testament days, in the days of the patriarchs, leprosy, amen, blindness. So Jesus knows about sickness. He knows. And that's by his stripes we're healed. Not only that, in Isaiah 61, amen, he talks about, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken heart. Broken hearts. He knows about the broken heart. He knows about being disappointed. He knows about being let down. Amen. One of the scriptures talking about in the book of Psalms, amen, that David, he wept and he moaned. King David, we're human. We're human. Yes, we're human. And Jesus wept over Lazarus. Yes, we're human. Broken hearts, emotions. God cares. He cares for all of us. And this transition, sometime we're going through, Jesus is there. Well, you know, Bishop, I'm lonely. Jesus is there. Well, financially, Jesus is there. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He's there. Well, people have turned their back. Listen, Jesus said, I'll be with you always. He's not like man. And he's not like woman. Amen. He's not human. Amen. He's superhuman. He's in us. He that is in you. 1 John 4:4 say, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Yes, he wants you to be here. He wants to show his power in you. He wants to show his power in you. You ever thought about that? He wants to show his power in you. He wants to care. He wants you to understand that he cares. He understands that he knows about us. He wants our light to shine before men that we can see a good way. He wants to show his power in you. Yes, they might look at you, but on the inside, you'd be like that tree. That tree. That tree, winter, spring, fall, they look at that tree. Oh, that tree is shedding. But if you keep looking, after a while, flowers going to start growing on the tree. God wants you to be like the tree. Amen. Oh, the tree doesn't look like, yes, but after a while, let them keep looking. Let them keep looking. They're going to keep looking, and you're going to see. They say, oh, well, what's happening? Have them watch the tree. Let them keep looking. You know what? They're going to see what God wants. Walk on through temptation. God bless you. We want to thank you for being with us constantly. Amen. From time to time. Amen. You can share with others. If you would like to email me, email to SeniorBishop@JesusChristInternationalMinistries.org, or you can visit our website, www.JCIMinistries.org, or you can go to Facebook. You can go to Facebook and visit us there. And it's facebook.com/JesusChristInternationalMinistries. And we thank God for those that have been writing, those that have been sending their emails, encouraging us to stay on the air. Or you can subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. You can go to youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. Now you can write JCI M Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, Florida 33320, USA. JCI Ministries, Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, Florida 33320. Remember that God loves us and He cares for you. Only way you can constantly keep that reminding, because sometimes we all drift. We all drift because the world has so many things happening. So many things that are happening. You know, we can get caught up with family, get caught up with our job. We can get caught up with neighbors. And we might be able to drift not even knowing that things done happen. But God is always there. He's always there. He loves us. He cares for us. And I pray that you love yourself. Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves, but God forgive us. And practice. Trust Him. Trust Him. Yes, I know, you know, sometimes we have to trust, but we're talking about trusting now. Put it to the test. Put it to the test. Put Him to the test. You know, don't tempt God. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. Don't tempt God. But it's something that you're going through now. And remember, you're through. You're going through. With Christ, you're going through. Write it down. Start writing. Vent, writing, and praying. Writing and praying. Writing and praying. God bless you. Bishop Poole, Dr. Truth, bless you.
Won't let you down.